Welcome to the Bad Joke Podcast. I'm Dan Sams. I'm here with Calvin Dorsey and Yuri Amari, and we're going to be talking about the gospel for all nations.
Want to accomplish in this time as we talk together in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So, you guys, I am looking out my window multiple times during the week, and I see more people of multiple ages. I see kids and adults and teenagers staring at their phones while walking. And people I would have never seen in my neighborhood are here. People from my neighborhood and on other places, and it's all Pokemon Go oriented. And so I thought, even in relation to some of our other topics, you know, we've been talking about what gets put on the throne of God that isn't Him. What kind of idols do we have? And so with this complete craze of Pokemon, we kind of thought it might be cool to talk about at what point does something become an idol? Can something that is good become an idol? Are there things that may or may not be idols, but we need to watch how we view them? And we just thought we'd throw out on the topic of this whole concept of Pokemon Go and the craze that it is. So, any initial thoughts?
I know for me personally, that's kind of crazy what's been going on. I'm showing my age in the sense that I still got Similac on my breath, but I remember when the Pokemon, the cartoon used to come on when I was younger, and I started watching. I was watching it. I forgot how old I was. It might have been middle school or high school. I'm not sure when Pokemon very first came out, but I remember playing the video games when I was younger. So I had kind of got wind of this whole Pokemon Go thing. And, I was like, smartphones kind of changed the game, I guess, because of the whole, well, now we can actually be like we're in the real Pokemon world, where we can go out and catch Pokemon and hit Spider-Man, walk around the world and do this whole thing, just like the cartoon. So, when it first came out, I personally had like a point of like, should I download this? Or should not? And then I was like, you know, I was like, cause is this going to take up too much of my time? Or is this going to be a distraction? Is this going to be bad? So at first I kind of was like, I don't know if I even want to download it. And then eventually I just pulled the trigger on it like 3-4 days ago, just to see what all the hoopla was about. And then weirdly enough, since I've downloaded it, it has opened up doors for me to meet new people. And it has opened up conversation points and topics in a way to build a relationship. So far it's been so good, and I haven't been like completely attention to it. So that's kind of my first encounter with it this week.
So I've had a little bit different thing. I was the guy who's like, I don't have time for that, and so I didn't download it. And I was hearing so much, I'm like, man, I at least want to know what this is. And so I downloaded it and took it on a walk. I take my kids, we walk around our neighborhood. And so we went on this walk, and as I'm stepping out of my driveway, I find one right in the front of my yard. And I thought, well, okay, this would be cool. And so I caught it, and then caught like one more on the trip. I'm like, this is great. Like, I can see how this is super fun, because, you know, it makes it like mixing real world and all that. And then I'm walking around and I'm like, well, I can see on the screen where there's some like further away from me, but I'm like, I don't feel like walking over there. So I think I played it the once and I'm like, I totally see how this is fun, but I don't know when I'm going to do this. And I don't know. I don't want to go to the effort. So I was like right there. So I haven't met any new people through it, but I totally see how you should and would be able to if you weren't, you know, taking the more lazy approach to it that I'm taking. So, yeah, I haven't made it an idol yet, but that might be due to laziness. So.
Yeah, my brother, so it's like a lot of crazy mania about it. Like, I just looked up online and it said that the original show came out in like 1997. Yeah. So I think I was about 12. So one thing that it has allowed me to do, what I've noticed from it, is because it's allowed me to connect with people who are younger than me, because Pokemon has been going on for so long that it has reached cross generations. So, like, I now have something more in common with, like, my 12-year-old nephew, or I have something more in common with, like, the 10-year-old, because it's been around since I was 10.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. There's something about Pokemon, because I remember being in college, and Pokemon Stadium was big on the Nintendo 64. And I remember the toughest guys on our dorm would walk by, and some dude would be playing Pokemon Stadium, and he'd be like, what the heck is wrong with you guys? You're playing a little kid's game. And they'll be like, oh, you'll be back. Next day, that dude would be sitting down there, the big jock football player would be playing Pokemon Stadium. And it was hilarious. And so I think we're seeing, I think you're right, man, multiple generations of people. I'm also seeing, you know, we've had all of this tension, this with related to police incidents and people getting shot and protests. And there's just all been all these tensions. And I've heard people that say, like, man, my first thought is, oh, my goodness, this is a distraction that keeps us from addressing a real issue. But I've heard some guys say, like, praise the Lord, man, people are being brought together. I'd be like, believe it was God's sovereignty. Listen to Pass the Mic podcast from Reformed African American Network. And they were like, man, this is just God's sovereignty. We're so glad that this came out now. People are coming together. There's more people out in the streets, so less bad things can happen as there's witnesses. And that I've heard these two different perspectives where some are like, oh, now we're not addressing these issues. And other people are like, praise the Lord, people are coming together. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, very, very crazy enough. Like the whole, like you said, I think I didn't even think of that when you had kind of mentioned it yesterday about it being a good distraction. Which I think sometimes just not everyone zeroing in at, you know, where this, you know, country is and certain issues. Sometimes not a healthy distraction, but sometimes just a distraction, whether it's healthy or not. Sometimes can serve a purpose in a way where, like, I remember last year when the Tamir Rice verdict came out, and it was right on the time for the Cavs were making a run at the championship.
Yeah.
And it became a distraction to where people didn't riot, people didn't get band together for something negative. People were more trying to band together for this neutral, positive thing at the time. So I think kind of that's what happened there with the whole Pokemon. But the crazy part is it has become a good distraction in some manner. Even now when I'm looking, I saw the other side of it where it's like, you're seeing like riots break out and stampedes and people getting hurt over Pokemon Go, car accidents, pileups where people are driving with Pokemon Go in their car. Like, it's been, like, crazy. Like, someone, I was watching a video the other day where someone was in a crowd, somewhere in New York, I believe, or California, a very heavily populated area, and they just yelled, oh, I see a Charizard, which is one of the animals, and all of a sudden this mob breaks out toward them, and he just did it as a joke. And it's almost like now yelling out the name of a Pokemon in a public area can probably incite a riot right about now.
It's crazy. Yeah, I am. The whole thing's interesting, and I'm, you know, maybe expanding the conversation a little bit. I think of the way I have been with Facebook lately, with all the things that have been going on, the interactions I'm having, and I can always use the excuse that my marketing business involves Facebook, and so there's a certain sense in which in my work I have to be on Facebook. But a little bit. I gotta check things where I ought to every now and then. But I'm finding myself in these discussions, some of which are productive, some of are not. Or I'm finding myself just distracting myself by reading memes that agree with me and reposting them and laughing at them and whatever. And it's one of those things, it's not always bad, but I've found myself distracted by it. And one of the ways that I'm seeing that it's an issue is that, you know, my wife will say, hey, this is a problem. My wife notices, And then every now and then, it's difficult to gauge with my kids because I work from home, so my kids are with me more than most kids are with their dad, just because of the nature of I'm working from home. And so they maybe are a little spoiled in that regard, but when my kids are like, "Daddy, get off your phone," that's when I'm like, I need to pay attention here. It's also interesting to me that if I spend a certain amount of time on Facebook or doing whatever else, and at the end of it, I don't feel refreshed. Like, I feel kind of like, blah. That's a sign to me that the activity is not necessarily healthy. You know, there's times where I need to engage with somebody and it's not fun, but it's important. You need to do it. But it's, I don't know, it's interesting to me that there are activities that when I'm done, I feel refreshed. And long times on Facebook, typically at the end of it, I'm not feeling refreshed. And so I'm paying attention to all that, and I don't know. I have another thought on it, but I don't want to dominate conversation. So
yeah, no, it's even going to that, it makes me think of it's the same kind of concept with social media. Like, I have those issues, but a lot of people probably have noticed, especially, you know, closer friends have noticed that, like, over the past like 2 years, my presence on like social media has like dramatically decreased. To the point where sometimes, like, all I do is I use Facebook to promote events sometimes, but I rarely, rarely ever post, share, like, or do anything. And it has become partly for that reason. You know, I can go on my own tangents about why I don't like social media at this moment.
Yeah.
But my other part of the reason beyond that is because just like this whole Pokemon app and everything that's going on, it could be something that's entertaining, but because of it taking up too much valuable time, or time that we need to be doing more productive things or things for the kingdom, it has now become a distraction, an unhealthy distraction. And then if it consumes too much of our heart, then that's the point where it's like, all right, this is starting to become an idol. And I think it makes me think personally, just like when Paul says, like, when, you know, in 1 Corinthians, when he goes back and forth about the whole thing about eating meat, eating meat sacrificed to idols, he basically says, an idol is nothing. Like, an idol is nothing. It doesn't have any real power. And we know that from the Old Testament. We know that from many parts of the Bible where people make idols out of wooden things or statues or a table. I can make an idol out of the wood thing that I made at your house last week. So, we can make an idol out of anything. So it's really nothing, but it's what we choose to give power to, that we allow it to be the Lord of our life.
Mm.
And I think even when we see, looking at the whole Pokemon Go thing, it's like, alright, this could be something fun and harmless, but we have to keep it in the proper context because we're allowing it to, one, put our family and, like, put people's lives in danger while we're driving, if we're so obsessed with it to the point where we're distracting and neglecting our family, neglecting our friends, and neglecting the thing that God values most, then I think at that point, you're probably looking at idol.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's almost a way of categorizing levels on it, because I think there are certain things where it's enjoyable, it's a blessing or a pleasant distraction, and it's just fun. And I think God can even be glorified in certain things. So, like, I think of, I like my woodworking. It's pleasant. I think God is honored in it. But man, I could blow lots of money on it, and I could spend crazy amounts of time and it become an idol. So I think there's the one level where it's like, hey, it could just be an enjoyable thing, and God could even get glory out of me enjoying that blessing. But then I think the next level is where I'm spending a little bit too much time. It's maybe not negatively affecting my family, or at least not significantly. You know, it's not ruining my life, but I'm cutting into what probably should go into prayer or into ministry to the saints or into just, you know, Ephesians 5, washing with water in the word, where I'm just in the word. And so I think there's that second level where it's like, well, it's not bad yet, but it's hindering something that's good. And C.S. Lewis talks about good is the enemy of what's best. And I think that next level is where we usually wait to get to when it's, you know, we've risked ourselves financially or physically, or we've broken relationships, or we've sinned because it's just become an obsession. And I think we could probably categorize at least those three levels. And here's what's interesting to me. I would say most Christians, I shouldn't say most, a lot of Christians are not at this place where it's like, oh my gosh, this is ruining my life and I'm at this terrible addiction level. But I would say most of us fit in this like right in the middle where with so many things in our lives, we're just spending more energy on it than is necessary, and we're functionally avoiding the things that allow us to abide in Christ. And so when I think of revival, so I'm trying to study a lot more about revival. And as we're looking to plant house churches in new areas, we're looking to go into Oberlin, Ohio right now, which is just down the road from us. And, everybody in Oberlin talks this a consistent language. They talk about that there is a veil of oppression over Oberlin. There is a blanket of confusion. There is a fog of despair. There's all these things that they talk about, and they use this language of like this veil covering the area. And in Isaiah, it talks about this veil that Jesus is going to swallow up and destroy. And in contrast, and I'm going somewhere with this, I promise it's related, but in contrast, as I'm reading about revival movements and things that have been happening in Fiji and Uganda and other places right now, they talk about this clear-headedness, how there's this, like, man, like, a friend of mine went to Uganda to study what was going on there revival-wise, and he says, when the plane landed, it was like I had this strange clarity in my head. And he's like, it's hard to explain the other way. It was like I just thought my thoughts were clearer, and I was less tempted to sin. There was something about God's presence there. And so in some of these prayer trainings that I'm learning about is they say, you know, part of what you're doing in prayer is that you are laboring in prayer. One thing that you're doing, they said, is that you have all these influences coming into you, which could be Pokemon Go, it could be television, could be whatever. They're not necessarily always bad, but they're on you. And there's a necessity of being washed in water with the Word, as it says in Ephesians 5, where you're just in the Word being refreshed and cleansed. And so they talk about, in addition to that, this need for laboring in prayer to break through, to pray through that veil of oppression that's over an area. And the concept that, as we hear from people involved in spiritual warfare, is that typically Christians are lazy in prayer and we're distracted by enough things that we don't come to a place where we're laboring in prayer to break through that oppression. But if we're going to have, if we're going to advance the kingdom, we've got to do spiritual warfare. And I would say, bringing this all around, I think that some of these things, we might not see them as idols in that they're not ruining our lives, but they've become distractions from the key role of spiritual warfare. We're not being washed in water in the Word. We're not battling in prayer. And the result is that just things are weak. And I think that's where my biggest concern is right now. Where is my energy going that should be going into the warfare of making disciples?
Yeah, I think, sorry, Kelly. Go ahead, bro. You've been talking a lot. I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's because of the three of us. I'm the old man who ain't played any of these pokey anything. I think what's very instructive to me is it is, you guys already said how fun it is for a lot of people, the Pokemon Go. And often, as we know from 1 Timothy 6, everything in creation is given to us for our enjoyment. And the context of that idea is in warning, Timothy being given instruction to warn those who are rich in this world, not to put their hope in riches, but to use the riches for the advancement of the kingdom. And yet it's okay still to just enjoy everything that God's put around us. So, you know, we have technology, games, recreation, amusement. These things are fun and fine.
any amusement cross over. The other cross over into idolatry. The other thing is, are there some amusements that should not ever be an amusement for a believer? Mm. And I think with the washing of the water of the word, as you mentioned, Dan, will give us immediate discernment in our culture.
Yeah.
So I think 2 weeks ago, I opened a Sunday morning message by walking around with my phone all over the sanctuary of the church building where we meet, you know, and some people knew exactly what I was doing. I was searching for a Pokemon Go as my opening illustration on being on mission, on the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And of course, unpacking the idea of, well, we understand what it means to be on mission right now. If you play Pokemon Go, people are on mission to get this Pokemon. These are lost Pokemon all over the place. You got to go find them. And then, of course, using that as a bridge to talk about who are the lost that are among us, that we are being in Christ, mobilized by His Spirit to go and find the lost, to seek and save the lost. This is Christ's work in and through this church in this age. As we abide in Him. So, that was a great, fun thing for me to do. It was fun. And yet, I remember over the years, as my kids played Pokemon with the cards, and I remember resisting that after doing some research on, it's Pokemon short for Pocket Monster. Oh, Pocket Monster kind of reminds me of when I played Dungeons & Dragons as a kid. And, and as a Dungeons & Dragons player, trying to blend role-playing of fighters with wizards and mages. So these Pokemon, these pocket monsters, they can fight for you, they can do things, fight against each other. Oh, these are just familiar spirits. So we cultivate magic and the magic arts and an assumption that these things are okay. So as you already mentioned 1 Corinthians 10, earlier, this is where our culture's at with the idea of familiar spirits, and familiar spirits are nothing more than demons, my own personal little demons that I can manipulate and control. All that is running through my head as we're talking. And then there's the very clear instruction from the Ten Commandments about not making a graven image. So at what point is that basic making something in the form of anything in heaven on earth, at what point is it an idol? Is it because it's a Pokemon? Is it because it's a picture of a spiritual thing? Or is it just plain old fun and it's not that big a deal? But then I think when one of the things that many believers do need to, I think, appropriately check ourselves on with not making for ourselves an idol would be, at what point does even something as simple as pictures of loved ones, is that a graven image? I know there are certain Christian movements that would say yes, that's a idol, just having any physical representation. I know that those that follow the Muslim faith, they do not have pictures often. If they're certain strict strands of Islam, they only have patterns and designs in buildings rather than pictures in buildings. What is idolatry? What do we give ourselves to, give our time to? I think it's very instructive if we're under grace. This 1 Corinthians 10, Paul quoting from the first century, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Hmm. And so if this is what we're doing, seeking the good of others, even in the enjoyment of what we're doing, it's probably okay. But is it really beneficial? Is it really constructive? And where's that passage? I think it's somewhere right in here. About being mastered by anything. The food for the body or something, and then, but I will not be mastered by anything. Oh, what is it? Someone threw that in my face about coffee a while ago. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the verse. I'm going to try to pull it up.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6. Is it 6?
Yep, 1 Corinthians 6:13.
There we go. That's, oh, he uses the same thing twice. Everything is permissible, but not everything beneficial. Everything permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Yeah.
Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. Cool. So, yeah, it has Pokemon mastered us, or has following our favorite Republican mastered us, or following our favorite Democrat mastered us, or pursuing that particular woman or man mastered us. Has food mastered us? Yeah, so who has mastered us?
Yeah.
Is it the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or is it the latest movie theater series that's coming out? I don't know.
It's interesting on this topic. So there was recently there was a pastor, I won't go into details because I don't think we need to share anything, but there was a pastor that made a public statement. He was removed from his position in a large church, and he seemed to be very repentant in his process, but there had been no moral failure or anything like that. But he made the comment, he's like, I don't believe that alcohol consumption is a sin, but he says, I have turned to alcohol for my refuge, rather than turning to Christ for my refuge. And it was very interesting that the issue was he recognized that his sin was turning to this thing as for his shelter and comfort. And I think if we're putting together kind of a guidelines or a rubric on something as to whether or not it becomes an idol, I would say that certainly one of the criteria could be, has it mastered me in the sense that this is where I find my hope, this is where I go for comfort, rather than to Christ? And certainly, as we say, that there's a place for pleasant distractions and fun, and that can be comforting and helpful. But if I'm returning to that again and again, rather than seeking my hope in the Lord, I've crossed into a bad thing.
Yeah, I think that happens I think the three of us need to guard ourselves in that. And as it relates to the work that God's given us, I think we can often surrender to the work of the Lord, the advancement of the kingdom, the building up of the believers, the organization and mobilization of the church. It's such an overwhelming task. But I think our abiding life hopefully will give us healthy parameters and limits on doing the work of ministry. I know I've been guilty of adultery in this regard, spending more time with the bride of Christ than with my own bride. And in my own experience, you mess with his woman and he brings a little beat down on you. It makes sense, doesn't it? That's with another man's woman, he's going to get pissed. So I think that's what happened between me and God a couple times over the last 20 years, where I was way out of whack in how much time I was giving to the work of ministry. And the Lord allowed, whether it was burnout or whether it was a conflict that was more than I could handle in terms of managing it in the life of the church, he allowed something to force me back into a more healthy rhythm and lifestyle. Because the church, the work of ministry had become my idol. We need to guard against that with one another.
I think it's a very common thing in ministry, because we, as men, we have a desire to feel fulfilled in our work at times. Not that there's not a place for some goodness in that, but man, we can very quickly turn to that. And when it's ministry, it's all the easier to make an excuse for it. But I have heard comments from pastors' wives. I think my own made this comment at one time in the past where, I feel like the church is my husband's other woman and I don't want to have anything to do with her. And, my wife loves the church and she's gracious and godly, but she's been through seasons where like this thing saps, all the energy out of my family and gets more of my husband than I get. And I don't want to have any part in it. And, that's one of those things, because part of what we're guarding is not only God's bride, but we're guarding our own, in how we treat our work in ministry. It's a good word. Very good. Go ahead, Calvin.
No, I was just about to say, it brings to a point of you guys bringing up the whole fact of ministry, to just bringing it back to the boss and that idol is nothing, but I guess all that I have to do. If you thought process, I guess it would be, an idol is nothing, but an idol, that everything can become an idol. So it's like, everything has the potential to take our affection over Jesus and over the things that we're supposed to be doing throughout the day. Like, so like you guys are mentioning, like even ministry. Well, and that's a lot of times that's a sneaky one that catches up everyone, because everyone's like, how can ministry be wrong? And it's like, but then because of our affection, now this ministry has become bigger than our relationship with Jesus, and then it has become bigger than our relationship with our family, and all those different things, because now we gotta ask ourselves, are we worried about building our earthly kingdom or God's kingdom? You know what I mean? So, ministry, is very finicky, but anything has the potential to become an idol if it becomes too big of our affection. Like you said, our refuge, the thing that we adore more than Christ himself.
Yep.
Yeah, I think a very simple summary verse out of James, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And I think that's the challenge with Pokemon Go or any one of the different amusements or entertainments. Is it helping us accomplish this pure and undefiled religion of looking after orphans and widows in their distress, advancing the kingdom in the hearts, minds, and lives of those with whom and to whom we minister? Or is this entertainment or amusement polluting us in some way? And to be just aware of that, attentive to it, but also very much under grace, recognizing that if we don't need to be paralyzed with a hyper analysis. If we blow it, hey, thank you, Jesus. You've covered it by the blood, because you knew I was gonna go too far in this thing. And then what do we do with our idols? We lay them down, we smash them, we destroy them. When those idols are relationships, that's when it's really hard.
To
love, you know, Jesus uses that metaphor. I think hyperbole, not metaphor. Hyperbole that, if anyone, doesn't hate his mother, father, or brother,
he can't be my disciple.
Can't be my disciple. So I think that hyperbole is not about hatred so much as how much more do we love him than we love these. So, anyway, this is good and fun, but, you know, I actually, the Westside Alliance Church at 38th and Bridge is a Pokemon stop.
Yeah.
We found out last week. So it's a check-in. So, be sure to send people that way. If you guys know of anything out in Sandusky or Amherst, if any good places for us to pick up Pokemon, maybe you guys can put that on the, on the thing for this week so that we can be sure to get people moving.
Yeah, you know what?
To find all the right guys, right?
So I'll tell you guys, Faith Baptist Church, Faith Baptist in Amherst, the youth pastor is a friend of mine, and he comes to our revival prayer meeting every Tuesday with the Amherst pastors. And he realized that they were automatically just set up as a Pokemon stop. So he goes out, he sees some of the kids out there, and he says, hey, listen, we have youth group every Wednesday night at this time. He says, I'm going to put out, because I guess you can buy lures to draw Pokemon. He's like, I'm going to put out a lure right at time, or like 30 minutes before youth group. And so, like, understand, every Wednesday night, I'm going to put out a lure. There's going to be Pokemon here. Keep coming back. I'm like, all right, man, rock and roll. There you go. But he's been pretty savvy. He's had some witnessing opportunities out of it. So I give him credit for his creativity on it. It's cool. Yeah. So anyway, so we probably better close out. This has been good, you guys. Calvin, would you mind closing us out in prayer, brother?
Absolutely. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are our God. I thank you that you have saved us. You are the only source for anything, God. Man, you are a source for life. You are a source for living. You are bringing about everything, Lord. So I ask that you guard our hearts away from anything taking your place. If there's something in our own hearts that is, whether it be movies, entertainment, whether it be apps or games or ministry or anything, dear God, anything that's taking your place, I pray that you allow us to see it, and then allow us to take it off the throne and take it out and kick its butt out your seat, because it's your seat and your seat alone. Continue to just allow brothers and sisters to enjoy Pokemon Go in a healthy way, in a practical way, to get God. Also allow kingdom-minded people and brothers and sisters in the faith to use it, to leverage it for your glory, dear God. So continue to just bless those endeavors and the people that are using it for ministry purposes to be able to reach people with the gospel, because that's what it's all about. I thank you for these brothers. I love them. I ask you to protect them and their families and their ministries. Let your name be glorified. Thank you for everything you have done and our conversation with them. Amen.